I was looking at some of the stories in the Bible, and oftentimes we look at stories, and especially in the Old Testament, we'll read some of them and think, wow, that just sounds kind of funny. And the circumstances maybe don't make any sense to us, and sometimes even the verbiage that's used doesn't even sound, you know, natural to our ears. And a lot of times we read those things and we think that those things, well, that's just the way they said things back in those days. But sometimes there's a lot of truth and strength that is in those very things that are there. One of the stories that that I love reading, and it's one of those stories, I think part of the reason I love it so much is because the first time I saw the story, I thought, what does that mean? Why is that even in the Bible? What is the point of that story? Why is that even there? And it's the story that's about the very end of the life of Elijah. And at the very end of his life, and this is in 2 Kings chapter 13. It says in verse number 14, Elijah had become sick with the illness from which he would die. Then Joash the king of Israel came down to him and wept over his face and said, "Oh, my father, the chariots of Israel and their horsemen." And the story goes on that as King Joash says these seemingly strange-sounding words to Elijah, who we know is about to die, and then in response to those words, Elijah tells the king to pick up a bow and arrow. And the king picks it up, and he tells him to take it in his hands, and then Elijah, the prophet, the man of God, puts his hand on top of the king's hand, which is on the bow and the arrow, and he says to send the arrow, aim it out the east window, and shoot the arrow, and he shoots the arrow. And then the man of God tells him to take some arrows and to strike the ground. And so the king takes the arrows and strikes the ground three times. And then the prophet is angry and rebukes him, and says, "You only struck it three times. Now you will not have the total victory." And so Syria will continue to be a nemesis against the Israelites because of the action or the lack thereof of King Joash. So we read that story and think, that's just really, what does all that even mean? Well, this morning I want to take a whole lot of time to talk about the whole thing. I mean, the whole story is fascinating. But one of the elements that I think is just really fascinating and speaks to me and speaks to us even today is when Elijah does tell the king. Let me just read that whole section, then we'll look at it. Verse number 15, it says, "And Elijah said to him, take a bow and some arrows. So he took himself a bow and some arrows. Then he said to the king of Israel, put your hand on the bow. So he put his hand on it. And Elijah put his hand on the king's hand. And he said, open up the east window. And so he opened it. Then Elijah said, shoot. And he shot. And he said, the arrow of the Lord's deliverance and the arrow of deliverance from Syria, for you must strike the Syrians at Aphek until you've destroyed them. And then he said, take the arrows. So he took them. And he said, strike the ground. So he struck the ground three times and stopped. And the man of God was angry with him and said, you should have struck five or six times. Then you would have struck Syria until it was destroyed. But now you will strike Syria only three times. So that's the story. And then shortly after that, Elijah dies. And we do see that King Joash did fight Syria three times, defeated Syria three times, but only three times. And Syria continued to be that nemesis against Israel for generation after generation, even really, truthfully, even unto today. But what I want us to see is, let's go back to verse number 17. And he said, open up the east window. And he opened it. And then Elijah said, shoot. And he shot. And he said, the arrow of the Lord's deliverance, the arrow of deliverance from Syria, for you must strike the Syrians at Aphek until you've destroyed them. So obviously, exactly what's taking place here is the king is coming to Elijah because the king wants, he sees he's losing the deliverer of Israel. Obviously, the man of God's about to go home, about to depart from this world. He's losing the deliverer. He wants that power. The king wants the power that he sees in and through, the power of God, the Holy Spirit power working through the man of God, Elijah. And that's what he's wanting. And Elijah's giving it some instruction here and basically saying, take up God, take up the strength, take up the bow. He's saying, you know, take up the deliverance. Now, the authority by taking up the arrows. These are the things that he's saying. You've got to take up the strength of God and take up the authority of God and let God work through you to bring about deliverance if you want to see this take place. This is the instruction that he's giving. But the weird thing is, what's the whole deal about pointing the arrow and shooting out the east window and Aphek? What does Aphek have to do with it? Well, in ancient times, if you would shoot an arrow in the direction of your enemy, that's symbolic of actually declaring war on them. So what Elijah is saying is, here's the arrow. Here's the arrow of God, the arrow of God's deliverance. You shoot that towards your enemy. In other words, you declare war on your enemy. And so that's what the king did. With the hand of the man of God on his hand, he shot the arrow out the east window, which is towards Syria. and declared war on Syria. But then why does Elijah say, and he's very specific, and he says, you must strike the Syrians at Aphek until you've destroyed them. Now, that's kind of odd because they're not at Aphek when they're having this discussion. The Syrians aren't in Aphek. Why does he have to go to Aphek to strike? What's the significance of Aphek? It's a town that we don't really hear a lot about. What's the significance? Why does Elijah say that he has to go to Aphek to bring about the destruction of the Syrians? This is what is so, to me, it's so compelling because it shows the same thing that we fail to do in our lives, and yet the same principle is true. Here's why Aphek is important. Now, this story is in the book of 2 Kings. If you go back multiple generations, you go back to the book of 1 Kings, go back many generations, many different kings over Israel, another bad king, as Joash was a king that didn't serve God. You go back to 1 Kings chapter 20, and you see Ahab. Now, we know Ahab was an evil king. And in 1 Kings chapter 20, the story of Ahab, Ahab and the Israelites are fighting these very same Syrians. And God supernaturally delivers the Syrians into the hands of Israel. And he does so for the purpose of the defeat, the ultimate and total defeat of the Syrians. So God is supernaturally delivering the enemy of the Israelites into the hands of Israel for the purpose of totally defeating them. But rather than destroying the king of Syria as God commanded, King Ahab took it upon himself and made the decision, even though God commanded him to destroy the king, Ahab decided it would be better to come into a peace agreement, to have a peace treaty with the Syrians. So he came to this peace when God had delivered them to be destroyed. He gave them peace, and he allowed the Syrian king to live, even though God commanded that he kill the Syrian king. Well, the end result was those Syrians continued, they remained, and they continued to be that nemesis of the Israelites from Ahab's generation to the next generation and generation on, right up till the time of the story we're reading here in 2 Kings, right up to the time of Joash. They continued to be the nemesis. So Elijah is telling King Joash, God provided you victory. You need to go back and take advantage of that victory. He's saying, go back, obey God, and defeat the enemy where God had given you the victory. Now think about that. He's saying to Joash, God has already given, he already provided the victory over this enemy. But because you failed to conquer it in God, for you and I, sometimes we fail to conquer things in Christ, even though Christ has given us the victory. And what Elijah is saying, what God's saying to the king through Elijah is, go back, obey God, defeat the enemy where I gave you the victory. Now, here's the question I have for us. How many things are there in our lives that we have not yet conquered, yet we have the victory in Jesus Christ? Jesus has already given us the victory. We just haven't conquered it yet. See, the whole point of this story, this whole story with Joash and Ahab and the arrows, the whole story comes down to, basically, it's God has already done his part, but he's looking for us to do our part. Now, he's empowered us to do our part. He's done his part. There's a lot of times that we sit back and we wait for Christ to do things. We wait for Jesus to move, but the reality is Jesus has done his part. He did his part 2,000 years ago. He did everything. He provided everything for you. He did his part. Now it's up to us to do our part. The great thing is, and that's what this whole story is about with the bow and the arrows, the strength and the authority. It represents the strength and the authority of Jesus Christ. Jesus has done his part. He wants us now to do our part, but he's given us the power and the authority to do our part. But we have to do our part. We have to enforce what Jesus has already done. When you look at the story, you can see that Elijah says to King Joash, pick up the bow and the arrow. In other words, Joash had a part that he had to play. Joash had a role. He couldn't just sit back and wait for God to deliver Israel. Elijah was saying, you've got a part to play here. You've got a role to play. Pick up the bow and the arrow. Pick up the strength of God. Pick up the authority of God. Pick up the deliverance of God and put your hand to it. That same thing is true for you and I today also. We have the victory in Jesus Christ, but it's up to us to enforce that victory. Too many times what happens is, Just like exactly, this is why Elijah said, go to Aphek, where God provided the victory. They let the victory slide out of their hands. And he's saying, go back, obey, defeat the enemy where I provided you a victory. What are the things in your life that keep coming back? Because until we establish the victory, here's the important thing to remember. You don't have to defeat Satan. You don't have to defeat your enemy. You don't have to. Because Jesus has already done that. Jesus has already defeated Satan. He's already defeated. All we have to do is enforce what Jesus has already done. And that's why Elijah is saying here, this is the example that we receive out of this today as believers in Jesus Christ. Elijah is saying, go back and enforce the victory that God gave you where he gave it to you. Same thing is true to us. God gave the victory at Aphek, but they didn't enforce it. And so it was still bothering them generations later. What are the things in your life that you've not yet been able to get victory over? Because those are the things that will continue to nip at your heels. Those are the things that will continue to be a harassment and an annoyance to you. These are the things that drain you. They drain you not only of strength, but they also drain you of your confidence. Your confidence in who you are in Christ. They drain you of the faith that you need, the hope. The constant harassment of those things that we don't put away will drain us. So what are those things? Heed the words of Elijah, because the statement is still true for us today. Enforce what Jesus has already done. You have the victory, but it's up to you and I to enforce it. Well, then the question becomes, well, how do we enforce that? How do we do that? How do we go about doing that? If you look at verse number 18, it says, and then he said, and this is Elijah speaking to Joash. He said, then take the arrows. So he took them. And he said to the king, strike the ground. And so he struck the ground three times and stopped. Why was Joash told to strike the ground? When you look in the original Hebrew, ground there means actually the earth. It means the actual earth. It means the physical earth. It's talking about, it's drawing the comparison of between the physical earth as opposed to the heavenlies or the spiritual. So he's told to strike the ground. He's told to strike the physical. This is the difference between the physical realm and the spiritual realm. What he's being told to do is, you take the deliverance that God has given you, the deliverance that is in reality, it's done, it's in the spiritual realm. You take that deliverance, and with that deliverance of God from the spiritual realm, with that spiritual realm truth, you strike the ground. You strike the physical realm. So what you're doing is you're taking the spiritual truth, and you're striking the physical truth. You're striking the physical with the spiritual. So what does that mean? Well, what it means is you're displacing the physical with the spiritual. Look, I want the spiritual truth. I want the spiritual reality. Yes, there's natural realities in our life. If the doctor says you have a sickness, I'm not saying that's not true. That's a natural reality. But I am saying there's a greater spiritual reality, and that greater spiritual reality is that by the stripes of Jesus Christ, you were healed. So what's being told to Joash is you take those arrows. In other words, you take the word of God. You speak the word of God. These are arrows. It's the strength of God, and it's the authority of God that comes to us through Jesus Christ. And you strike the physical. What Joash was supposed to do was to take those arrows, and symbolically he was supposed to strike the ground. He just took three arrows because he didn't have any passion. He's just going through the motions. Most of us, even in the body of Christ, just go through the motions. We need to have some passion and the fire of the Holy Spirit in us. We need to take those arrows, the word of God, speak the word of God, take that strength and that truth of Jesus Christ in the power of Jesus' name and in the power of the Holy Spirit, take those arrows and displace. That's the spiritual. And we displace the physical with the spiritual. We remove the physical out of the way. And so if the doctor's telling you you're sick, that's true. But what I'm saying is there's a greater spiritual reality. We want to displace the spiritual truth and use that to displace the physical, the natural truth. That's what Joash was supposed to do. And that's what Joash did half-heartedly. And that's why you see Elijah rebuke him and get angry, because he didn't displace. How many things has Christ given you victory of in your life? And how many of those things have we not fully enjoyed? How many of those things has he given us victory? But some of those annoyances, some of those things that come against us, whether it's sickness, whether it's our marriage, whether it's something that we're addicted to, they continue to harass us and come against us. We need to enforce what Jesus has already done, and we enforce it by those arrows. We enforce it by striking the natural with the supernatural. We take the truth of the spiritual realm, speak that in faith, and in speaking those words of faith, we displace the natural with the spiritual. And that's where you and I want to dwell and live.